You're listening to The Higher Ed Marketer, the podcast for marketing professionals in higher education. Join us every week as we talk to the industry's greatest minds in student recruitment, donor relations, marketing trends, new technologies, and much more. If you're looking for conversations centered around where marketing in higher ed is going, this podcast is for you. Let's get into the show.
Welcome to the Higher Ed Marketer Podcast. I'm Troy Singer, and as always, joined by my friend and co-host, Bart Kaler. And today, we are excited about talking to Eric Henry. He's the president of Carousel Digital Signage and a digital signage specialist who shares his expertise on enhancing student engagement through strategic communication.
Yeah, I really love this conversation, Troy. You kind of look at it and you say, oh, it's digital signage. I got that covered. But I think that's what's amazing is it's like 15 minutes in before we even talk about anything to do with a sign or a monitor. I really, really like Eric and his thoughtful, strategic approach to student communications. I mean, I love the fact that he marries strategy with really cool technology and innovative tech and comes up with solutions that are going to drive results. And that's what I love about the way that he kind of unpacks everything is how to really set up your student communications, almost like you're doing a marketing plan. And he takes some time to unpack that for us. But I was just really refreshed with this conversation. I think it's an extremely good conversation. And I would encourage everybody to listen to it because I think it's actually some really brilliant things.
So true. And in addition, I guarantee you, Eric will knock your socks off with his answer to my question or request as a final tip or piece of advice.
Yeah.
So
stick around.
You'll be
that.
Very surprised. Yep. Very much so. Here's our conversation with Eric Henry. Eric, it is great to have you on the podcast. And you come to us with a wealth of experience about utilizing digital tools to foster campus engagement. We're going to encourage you to give away a lot of secrets today, but before we get into that conversation, would like for you to kick things off by sharing something that you would deem fun or exciting that you've either learned or experienced recently.
Oh, a thing that I just learned this week is that my daughter was caught in the band room on the piano and she was singing and her band director heard her and said, I need you to actually sing at the next band concert, which is awesome because I've tried to encourage my daughter to put herself out there in front of her peers and she's eighth grader. So that's a big deal.
Oh yeah.
And so her band director caught her singing. And so A Million Little Dreams, which is a great song to sing. And so I am super excited to go to her band concert, which is probably something I've never said before. To be honest.
So I can appreciate that.
I am super excited to go to an eighth grade band concert and see that this band teacher calling my daughter out in such a great way. Like that's the thing that she confessed over dinner the other night. So that was super awesome. I'm like, really? Because I've been encouraging her for years.
She's mortified, but dad's excited.
She's been singing in church for 5 years in front of
people.
She'll be totally fine. It's just going to be in a different environment. So I'm super excited for that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Eric, let's talk about how strategic planning is more critical than the selection of tools. Can you expand on how this strategic approach has transformed interactions on campuses that you've worked with?
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of the things that I noticed, I had an opportunity to gather last year with about 20 higher ed provosts in California. And as I heard about the challenges that they were facing engaging students on campus, this is a nationwide thing. It did not matter if you were a community college, a private four-year school, a large university. What we were seeing across the board was all the traditional tools that we use to engage students aren't as effective as they used to be. And so it's really hard to like get into tactics and say, okay, should we send email campaigns or newsletters or whatever way that we're trying to engage our campus if we don't step back a little bit and just say, okay, what are we fundamentally trying to actually accomplish in getting these students together? And so I start there. It's just like, pause for a moment. And as I was hearing these higher ed leaders and just, they're really their heart for their students and saying, these are students, they would, what I was hearing is 4.0 students in high school coming into college and struggling with that transition and basically disappearing on campus. That's not a thing we saw before the pandemic. And so that's kind of, first is, boy, I think we're so far beyond just being able to solve it with a tactic shift, right? Like we have to step back and kind of re-ask the question, what are we really trying to accomplish on our higher ed campuses beyond just the core learning? But also, what are the things that are getting in the way of the core learning because of just the environment we're living in today? So that's a really like super high level answer. And if you want me to dive in a little bit more and put a little more flesh on it, I'd be happy to do so.
No, I would like you, because I think that you bring up a really good point, because I think that I see a lot of teams that are kind of chasing the shiny object. It's like, oh, look over there. Let's go try that because what we have now isn't working. And so they keep shifting on the tactics, which end up being the next shiny object. It's like, oh, you know, Instagram's down, so I guess we better jump into TikTok. And then, oh, TikTok's not working, so what do we do now? And those are just a couple of examples. I'm not necessarily picking on either of those, but I'm saying that it's very easy to just to kind of chase the ball rather than stop and say, let's hold on to the ball for a second and put a plan together. So walk us through that, because I think that I'm curious about diving deeper in what you just said and then how you're actually helping schools do that.
So I'll step back a little bit to even just my view of the human condition, right? Uh-huh. And so what I observe in higher ed, and even when I was listening to these provosts, the conversation was, we're doing all of these things for these students. We're doing all of these things, yet they're still not engaged. And what I was hearing was, how can we cater more to our students? And I don't think that was our intent, right? But that's what I was hearing in the conversation. I have two college-age kids myself, and what I've noticed is if I want to engage my kids, they need to actually have a purpose and a mission. And so it's not the answer of, do I cater to my kids more or do I get them on mission? And so to me, the fundamental thing on higher ed campus is, what are we here to do? All right, are we here to learn? Are we here to serve? Is it both? I think it's both. And so if we start with that, then we have to say, okay, if we're here, like, for example, one of the schools that I see here in Minnesota, they do an awesome job of community service and civic engagement things the first week of school because they're thinking about it. And so as kids come to campus, they're talking to kids about, hey, this is how you can be engaged civically. This is how you can volunteer and be helpful in the community. And kids are all excited. And then nothing happens the rest of the school year. Right. And so what I'm suggesting is, as we step back and we think about strategy and we say, we want engaged students, I think engaged students are ones that see their purpose and that them showing up actually matters and that them getting a really good education actually matters in what is happening in our society and that they can make a difference. When they start buying into that, now we can start talking about all this stuff that we're going to probably talk about now, which is, hey, how do we make sure that people know the different things that are happening in ways that they can get engaged civically? How do they know about those things? How do they get to the meetups on campus to find out about Model UN or going and doing taxes for people or whatever those things are that engage the students on campus? How do they become more in relationship with one another? Because that is what's going to keep them from falling through the cracks because their peers actually noticed that they didn't show up to class for a week. Right? Like those are the types of things that once, if we start with the fundamental things, which are people need to know that they're seen and that they matter, right? And that the things that they do matter. If we all agree on that, now we can start talking about, okay, well, cool. What things should we then offer to our student body? Not catering to them, saying like, this is how you can be involved. And this is why you need to show up. Based on that, we can start saying, okay, now how do we raise the awareness of all of these things? And that's where I start coming in and saying, okay, now you want to raise awareness to those things? Hey, there's all kinds of tools that we can use to get students engaged in actually showing up to these different functions. And so for me, I would argue that we're a technology company that is trying to increase face-to-face interaction, which seems a little counterintuitive, right? Like, why are you writing more software? No, I'm writing software so that people will actually put their phones down. Right. So that's kind of how I see it more strategically, is like starting with the fundamentals and just understanding that what we've inadvertently done is catered more and more, and that is not bearing fruit, I don't think, across the country.
No, I think you're right, and I like the way that you've positioned that, because, I mean, a lot of times we do a lot of websites at Keeler Solutions for colleges, and I'll do a lot of assessments. And one of the first things that I'll look at is, you know, how transactional is the website versus how storytelling and inspirational and getting people to understand their mission and how their mission crosses with the mission of the institution. And so I think that that's, if everything, and I think that's where the catering starts to happen, is when everything starts to feel transactional. It's like, well, we're just going to do more of those transactions to make sure that they feel like they are getting what they are supposed to get. And so it becomes a consumer mindset that, and thus the transactions, as opposed to what I think that you're saying is it's that level up of, you know, we are helping you identify why you're important and why this is important. So it's kind of like going back to the Simon Sinek of the, you know, start with the why, as opposed to just, you know, hey, we just need to get more information out. Because I've heard Gen Z students say, don't send me an email with 25 things in a newsletter format because I'm not going to read it.
No, they're absolutely not. I saw both of my kids sent me what our school sends these kids, and because they have to communicate everything that's happening in the week, it's really big and it's long and it's not targeted.
Right.
So it's just not very effective.
Yeah. I think that's great. And so let's go back a little bit. I mean, we're kind of pulling back and I love the way that we've started this conversation, and, you know, with your background as kind of being in digital signage. And I think that's, you even alluded to, it's like a little bit weird in the way that we're talking about this. How does that all fit into this overall narrative of these campus communications? Because, I mean, I think we're starting with the why, the strategies over tactics, but at a certain point, you're starting to then use the tactics once you have the strategies in place. So how does all that intersect?
For sure. So it's interesting. It's, you know, thinking back, I was reflecting earlier today in preparation for this call, and it's interesting how it used to, you know, communication used to be much more one way and controlled, right? And so you could control the message. And so there was a lot more uniformity to it, whether that was good or bad. I mean, obviously we have great examples on the good side and on the bad side of that. But as far as like the effectiveness of posters on walls or things, at least the messaging was consistent and everybody kind of knew what the message was, right? So that's the world we used to live in. And then social media came along, and for all of its good and its bad, one of the things that it does do is really confuse and convolute the message, because now it's two-way, right? And so even as we look at tools and think about campus communications and stuff, there's so much, it's peer-to-peer and it's all these things going on. And it's like, what do I actually need to know out of this overabundance of information? Right. And so there's all this noise. And so the question becomes, okay, well, in the midst of all that, these tools aren't going away. Right? Like we're not going back to posters in hallways, although it's interesting that there are several universities that are opting to hang posters in hallways, even though they have digital technology, because they're finding the usefulness of, boy, sometimes students just want to see the thing. That's what I'm looking at. Okay, got it. So just observing kind of what's going on in the world, one of the other things that I left this higher ed set of meetings with was, boy, what if we approached our communication strategy, the way that we think about communicating with our students across campus, much more like a marketing campaign? Because I know my head of marketing, she's great at, Eric, you've got this idea, you want to communicate this thing. Okay, cool. Who's your target audience? How exactly are you going to deliver it to them? What dates? What's it look like? What's the call to action? How are you measuring it? Boy, that's a lot of questions. I don't think we think about that most of the time in our communications. I think most of the time now we're used to just like type a bunch of stuff, send it out, and there it goes.
Yeah. And so expect everybody just to consume it and know what to do.
And then obviously in marketing, we know things got to show up 7 times for people to see it. And I make fun of my local radio station for playing songs too many times. And they're like, hey, you got to play it 7 times for people to even notice you played it once. Oh yeah, that's right. So that rule applies. And we know that applies in life, but it's funny how when we communicate with one another, we're just like, well, yeah, we said that 3 weeks ago. How do they not know it's registration time? Right. And so I think that putting that hat on and saying, okay, if I think about how I'm communicating with my students on campus much more like a marketing campaign than I do think about my weekly newsletter that I just cram all together, that really informs how I think about it. And so now I want to get way more strategic and tactical and bite-sized and measured and those types of things. So.
Yeah, I love the way that you're approaching that. And you know, I was on a campus this week, and we were talking about, I was meeting with the leadership team, and the leadership team was mainly made up of boomers. I started the conversation off with explaining to them the differentiations in all the generations. You know, so I said, okay. And I, you know, because I'm an Xer, I can kind of, you know, talk a little bit in the boomer. And I was like, you know, I remember when we were all kids, there were three channels to watch on TV. Everybody watched the same shows. And so we started there, and I talked then about how now my kids don't even watch TV. They consume YouTube and other things that way. And so just try to set that up with the different generations. And so a lot of what we've been talking about here today, and we're going to get a little bit more specific in some generational conversation in a moment, but I wanted to kind of just say, just to set up that my next question is, when we're looking at this, what are some real world examples? Because I'm sure that there are some people saying, I don't get it. I mean, you know, the posters seem to work for us, but yeah, people are frustrated. Help me kind of understand from a real world perspective of where does it start with the strategy? And then how does that meaningful engagement happen through the tactics?
Yeah. So what I would say is, as we think about, so taking those marketing concepts and saying, all right, so I want to target my audience and it needs to be real time. We now have tools, digital signage and other tools that allow us to think about our messaging, pre-schedule all of that messaging. We have great content creation tools from Canva to Google Slides to what, I mean, we have infinite amount of creation tools. So that part's not really the problem. So I think if we start thinking about, okay, as close to real time as we can deliver content to people in as many places as possible is the strategy. So on a college campus, if I have dedicated signage screens in a residence hall and in hallways on campus, and I'm delivering that content and it's showing up in all the places it matters and more highly relevant. So let's take the College of Arts or the event schedule that's happening in the sports complex or whatever, like what is the highly relevant content for that group of people delivered in the most timely fashion possible, repeated as many times as it can be on dedicated screens, but then also reinforced on our website, also reinforced on our personal devices, because now we have a tool that allows you to publish directly to all your students' phones. And so now you can reinforce that same message because it's the thing they look at the most. So for my son, for example, the story that I like to tell is, you know, he had a great interaction with some attorneys that came on campus. He's a philosophy, political science major. And so they had one of those nights where they had kind of the career night. The only reason he made it was because one of his buddies reminded him when he was walking down the hallway. Okay. So the goal is to have it reinforced on the signage when he's in his residence hall, to have it in the history political science department, reminding him on the screens and also on his device, because he's a history political science major, that thing's happening. Ooh, yeah, we got that. That thing's happening Thursday night at 7 o'clock, right? So that's kind of the idea of the real-time engagement of it. And then also, you know, kind of following it through and then being able to offer right on their phone the ability to say, oh yeah, I need to actually register for that. Okay, where do I go to register? Oh, I can actually just click the thing on my phone and register. Because what we know, especially with the younger generations, if it's not instant and I don't do it right now, it will not happen. What friction can we remove to register for classes or sign up for the event or whatever we need to do, and then actually track metrics on it? You know, respect people's privacy, but say like, boy, this is getting a lot of engagement, or this really important thing is getting no engagement. Maybe we need to put this more places or reinforcement more campus-wide. Hopefully that helps a little bit, but basically dedicated screens, maybe in front of the classroom, because we have these multi-purpose devices for screen sharing and those types of things, where now we can put signage content between classes. So just really thinking about where can we put the messages. And again, it's the controlled message of the university. So it's going back more to like what the posters were like, where it's more one way. It's not saying like, hey, and kids interact back. No, they can interact by the call to action, right? But not necessarily like, And everybody weigh in on how dumb you think this is.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We want to avoid that part.
Yeah.
No, I love the way that you're doing that. And I think that's a really, really good example. Eric, as we're talking through this real life situation, I mean, I love the fact that, hey, I'm seeing it where, you know, I am in my dorm and it's specific to me and, you know, it's relevant because I'm in the art department and I'm an art major, and that's an event or whatever it is that I need to register for showing up on my phone. And we're not doing it, you know, campus wide because we've segmented down the audiences. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, it's an older movie now, but Minority Report, where, you know, had this futuristic view of walking into Gap and, you know, welcome back, Eric. And, you know, do you want to reorder the white Gap shirts that you had last time? So is that where it's going, or is that still kind of science fiction that, you know, hey, we're never going to be able to know specifically who's in front of what signs?
Yeah, I think it is going that way. And what's interesting is it's going that way differently than I think maybe a lot of people anticipated. So if we think back to RFIDs, right, that kind of creeped people out. Like, wait a minute, I'm going to walk into a store and you're just going to, because I have an RFID in my shoe, you're going to say, welcome back, Eric. I don't think that's reality. In signage spaces, what they've tried to do is say, okay, can I put this Kinect sensor there and count eyeballs and people and all this type of stuff? I don't think that's practical either. I think what it's going to come down to is the mobile device. So, and the nice thing about a mobile device is the person can choose their own adventure. So with Apple, for example, when I talk about being able to deliver content to people's devices, the thing is, in a shared device deployment, so or a managed device deployment, so let's say a university that has distributed all Apple devices, or they've chose all Android devices. If they're managing those devices on behalf of their students, they know who the student is and they know where the student is. So based on those two things, we can start tailoring the content to that student. So if I know you're a history major and you happen to be in that building tonight, I can tell you the things that are related to what's happening in that building that night. And so I can get ultra specific with you. But the beautiful thing is I can also turn off location services and say, I want my privacy. So I like it actually moving to the phone, because unlike RFID tags, it was kind of an all or nothing thing. It was sort of like, it's cool and it's custom or it's creepy. If you're on the side of it's creepy, then turn off. I don't actually want it tailored to me. But if I do want it tailored to me, that's where I see Apple and Google going, is really saying, hey, if you're willing to share these things about you, and we always have to respect privacy, we have to be very careful about that. But if you're willing to share these things about you, we will tailor your experience for you. And that is from everything from the content that's on your phone to walking into hotel rooms and it changing the color scheme and those types of things. That is kind of generally culturally where we're going with all of those things. And it's true on campus. And I will say that part of what we're thinking about is also how can we, while those things are cool, right? Ultimately, getting back to the top of the program, the question of what are we trying to accomplish? What we're actually trying to accomplish is better academic outcomes, right? And so if we stay rooted in that and say, okay, that's cool. What about knowing more about who you are and where you are leads to better academic outcomes? Well, if you show up to the math lab, right? Or if we start tailoring the content, we know that this many students are writing papers this week and they're due for midterms. And so we offer more writing labs, whatever that thing is, and we make more students aware of it, and we increase engagement with the writing lab, and that increases academic outcomes. Like, that's the kind of way that I want to be thinking about using the technology, because the problem so much in our society and the temptation we have as a technology company is to get excited about the tech and like miss the whole point. Like the point is, I want students that feel safe. I want them like achieving better outcomes because they feel engaged in their environment and because they're happy and they're healthy and they're thriving. Like that's why we want this technology. A lot of times the technology is moving us the opposite direction.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I love that. I love that clarity. Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Eric, earlier in the conversation, Bart mentioned the generational differences in how content is consumed. So if you would love to know how digital signage can, and I hate to use the word cater, maybe customize is a better term, to these types of preferences, and even considering now on how tech savvy that or Generation Z or the younger generation is.
Yeah, and I think if we understand and we think about the fact that if we apply that same lens of a marketing campaign informs how a student communication campaign happens, I think it's fine, because it, especially if you're communicating to staff and students at a higher ed, then use all of the channels, because sometimes email is actually useful to me. A lot of times it's not, but sometimes it is. So I'm not saying abandon email, right? Or just use digital signage or just use the personal device. I think the beauty of the way that our technology is so integrated today is we can actually understand all of the tools we have available to us and use them all, but more cohesively. Like, that's what I'm suggesting, is we use them more cohesively and not just like, okay, this group of people gets email blasts once a week with this thing, and this group of people gets this. I think it has to be, because my son is atypical of his generation, right? Like, he loves old books and reading long things. And so I can't just assume that everybody in every generation is going to consume information the same way. Video is huge right now, right? A lot of people like video. Not everybody consumes their information on video, although most do. So my suggestion is not necessarily like abandon ways that have worked in the past, but like, how do we embrace the collection of those things without it just being overwhelming, right? Like, it can't be overwhelming, but I think we have a richness of tools now that allow us to use them all.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what you said earlier about, if we're focused on tactics, we tend to just throw everything in the kitchen sink at it and just think that, oh, if it's just more, then that's going to be better. But I think that what you're saying is that if we can be a little bit more targeted and a little bit more understanding of the generational preferences and I even say preferences in the sense that, like, going back to your issue with Apple, where I can opt out of something, or I can say, you know what, I really don't want you to text me, but I am okay with you doing this. Or, you know, and that might be different even with Gen Z. I mean, I am learning more and more about Gen Z, and Troy, we're going to have, I'm thinking about having a panel of Gen Z students on where we can just talk about things and on the podcast, because I learned last week, and this is really going to sound weird, I learned last week that there's like 5 emojis that are offensive to Gen Z, and one of them's a thumbs up. And I was like,
whoops.
Seriously,
whoops.
A thumbs up is
whoops.
And I've got a Gen Z working for me, and she's like, oh yeah, that's like passive aggressive. And I was like, okay, well, maybe that's her. So I was on campus this week talking in my consulting, and I ended up having a session with, you know, 6 students at this very conservative faith-based school. And I asked them, I said, hey, I just want to ask you guys a question. If I put a text and I just gave you a thumbs up in the end, what would you think? They were like, oh, don't ever do that. I mean, they were like, exactly knew that. They're like, oh, that's like you're just being really passive aggressive. That blows my mind. And I thought I had a pretty good pulse on Gen Z. And now all of a sudden I'm thinking, well, what are all those conflows that I've developed with emojis in it? And I didn't know that. But I think that that's part of why I wanted to take a break to tell that story, because I think sometimes we think, oh yeah, we know. Yeah, we know that Gen Z likes this, this, and this. Let's just do that. But sometimes I don't think that we really realize what we don't know. I mean, I learned the other day too that apparently ellipses are very offensive too. Like, if you write an email and you have dot, 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 that's offensive to a lot of Gen Z students as well. And so I just don't know that stuff. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have the students on the podcast. But I think, going back to what you had talked about, the idea of being able to tailor the content to meet the expectations of these younger audiences is going to be critical, but you have to start with that strategy. And part of that strategy is going to be maybe even engaging with the students. I mean, how do you guys do that? I know that you've got a great piece that I downloaded recently, your student communication. It's like a brochure that recently came out. And so I'm sure there's a lot of really good things in there about community and things that Gen Z is really passionate about. But help me understand, how do you start with that even at the top when you consult with your clients?
Yeah. And I think, honestly, it's been a gap. And so I think part of what has pushed us to some of the more recent development in even our tool set is recognizing the own gaps that we have in terms of understanding, like, how do we really effectively, because, you know, for each generation at the top, the question of what are the things you've learned recently. I think the other answer I would have given is I'm starting to realize all of the assumptions that I operate with in life that I haven't really questioned for a long time. And so I would even say around Gen Z, as you're bringing up these examples, there are probably assumptions that I'm making around like the fact that maybe I do know better than I actually do around how effective this communication is. And so what I think we've been doing is pausing a little bit and saying, boy, have we made too many assumptions around these things? And so as you were talking, one of the things I was thinking is with the new way of engaging students with mentioned like on their phone, what I'd love to do is send out a question and say like, hey, do you find ellipsis offensive? Yes or no? And why? And like create a dialogue. Like that's what I would love. Like the other part of engagement is creating a dialogue.
Oh, yeah.
Third thing that I've learned recently, right, is like all these things that frustrate us, right? They were like, man, that's really frustrating to me. Lately, I've been pausing and realizing, boy, what an opportunity that is to teach. What an opportunity is for us to teach. And so when we get frustrated by, like our young people don't understand what it is to dialogue because quite frankly, our generation has done a terrible job of modeling it, right? So my kids think, oh, the people that win the argument are the ones that yell the loudest or insult the most. And they've never read how the Supreme Court actually deliberates and debates and respectfully dissents. And so there are opportunities for us to teach discourse, right? And constructive conversation with people who are different than us and seeking generational understandings of why is that offensive to you? Boy, help me understand that. And so I think even with these tools, creating dialogue and embracing that discomfort because it's a teaching opportunity. If our higher ed institutions are learning institutions, then the other thing we have to learn is to how to have really healthy discourse. And so instead of it just being one-way communication, how can we help create two-way dialogue and really healthy discourse? And so that's where I would say, I think we've had a gap. I haven't really embraced that till recently.
No, I think you're right on that. And I think it goes back to what we talked at the very beginning about there's a difference between encouraging dialogue versus I think a lot of people would probably stop and say, well, you just told us earlier that social media, it's like everybody weigh in and you know pile in on why this event's going to be a bad thing. That's different than encouraging dialogue between individuals. And so I just wanted to point that out because, social media.
Human to human, like real face-to-face, because I guarantee you there are things that people say online that they would never, ever say in front of another human face-to-face in a respectful, like honoring another person like that, like this, like behind the keyboard stuff, it's got to stop. Right. And we all know that, but how do we help one another get to that? Because it is very different when I engage somebody face to face and really get an understanding of that person and their heart and where they've come from and their journey than, oh, yeah, I read about you online. That doesn't mean I know anything about you.
No, but I think your point of the, you know, texting somebody about the ellipses is the start of the conversation that you move into what the kids would call IRL, you know, in real life. And so, you know, kind of being able to do that. Yeah. And I think that's such a really good point. So thank you, Eric.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Eric, if you could please share some of the uses of digital signage that are beyond the traditional uses that we are all used to.
Yeah, some interesting uses of digital signage. So University of Minnesota has a pretty cool display that actually highlights all their LEED certified buildings. And so their performance metrics of their solar and their wind and all of the things that they're doing in their LEED certified buildings and all in real time, like, hey, this is a metric kind of celebrating on the sciences side of things, which I think is pretty awesome. We have several Big Ten schools that use us in like their athletics department celebrating like all their, hey, see who our Heisman Trophy winners are. I don't know if the University of Minnesota has any of those, so probably not. But Michigan State's a good example using signage in Michigan as well, you know, like celebrating their student athletes or their championships or their different sports things. So we've seen some really cool things there. We've seen stuff in locker rooms where They're actually using it to welcome the athletes and customize their facilities. So there's just a lot of really clever. What I love is like building a tool that people can use their imagination with, because it's so fun. You give it to creative people and they're like, oh, well, we could use it to do this. Recruiting of students and celebrating. So another one at the U of M where they have like the 3M sciences and they're highlighting all the different majors and the studies and the different academic research that they're doing to really promote for prospective students, like really celebrating the richness of that campus and what they can offer there for research, right? Like those types of things. And just thinking about it a little differently than how you could convey something on paper, right? And really make it come to life. So those are a couple ideas.
Well, and I think too, one of the things that digital signage does too, especially done in the right way with ultra creativity, it also creates opportunities for photo opportunities or viral types of things mm-hmm. that I think are,
for sure.
that can also be kind of integrated into that. And so I think that there's it's a lot more than just wayfinding or, you know, hey, here's what's, you know, the menu coming up next week with the food service. So
yeah, for sure.
That's great.
Yeah. And I think just, again, like the opportunity for it to be really, really tailored. And even I noticed some universities, they leverage their signage network. And this would be one encouragement to universities is they leverage it very much for one people group versus another. So for example, some universities, because recruiting is so important, prospective students, it's really most of their signage messaging is for prospectives and why you should come to our university. Other campuses would leverage it more for a vibrant campus life, I would say. But the beautiful thing is it's digital screens, man. You can use it for both. Like there's the technology exists. So as you think about your strategy, like how do we know when campus visit weekend's happening. Let's use it for that when it's campus visit weekend. And when it's not, let's use it for a vibrant campus life. And so I think that's an opportunity. What I notice in the retail environment, like my slogan in the retail environment is replace the corkboard. Okay. The reason I say that is because they haven't adopted things that have been in place for 10 years in the retail space. You'd think they would. And I'm seeing that somewhat in the same way in the higher ed space. Some of these things that we're talking about have existed for a decade. We just haven't really even leveraged the usefulness of those yet. So I think there's just a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what you said at the beginning with strategy. Start with strategy and figure out what the call to action is, how you're going to measure it. And I think I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Eric, as we wrap up, if you would please share a tip or piece of advice that either an institution or maybe an individual can implement that would immediately benefit from their digital signage investment.
My first advice is don't buy carousel right away. Please don't do anything right away. So the thing that I see often, and it's getting better, admittedly, than it was in the past. But when I would ask people what they were trying to do or achieve or accomplish, it was, or why were you doing digital signage? Because the guy down the street is doing it. Please do not do that. So my first advice is like, pause and jump back and rewind to the beginning of this episode and remind yourselves, please start with strategy. What are you actually trying to do? The reality is we've all invested in tons of tools that we're probably leveraging about 25% of, right? So when I say don't buy carousel, eventually I'd love for you to buy carousel, don't get me wrong, but only if it really works and actually helps what you're trying to do, because you're not going to be happy with us or anybody else if it doesn't help you accomplish your goal. And so that's my fundamental thing is like, if I'm on a call, people make fun of me all the time because they're like, why are you trying to unsell your product all the time? I'm not. I'm trying to make sure that you're doing the right thing for your organization, because to me, stewardship is super important. Like that organization, like higher eds have a ton of problems, right? They have a ton of challenges facing them and they need to be really good stewards with their resources. And so my encouragement is please stop for a moment and just say, okay, what are the three fundamental things we're trying to do right now? Okay, based on that, what are a few things that we can do to move this needle forward? And then let's go from there. And if we can be helpful in that, you know, you mentioned our booklet earlier. All that booklet is really trying to do is give a little bit of context to think through and have a dialogue as an organization. Whether you're a carousel customer or a competitor's customer, or you don't use signage at all, it might help you frame up your conversation around how you're doing campus communication and engagement. That's all we're hoping that does. And so if that helps an institution think through, okay, we've got email, we've got posters, we've got this, we've got that. Great. Take an assessment first, think about what you want to do next, and then reach out to us or somebody else, and we can help kind of walk alongside. But find somebody that is consultative and not just trying to sell you the next tool, because we talked about tactics. The tool is not going to solve the problem.
No, that's a great, right? Great point.
We got plenty of tools.
So perfect.
That was refreshing and very relevant. So Eric, thank you for that last piece of advice. And thank you for the wisdom that you shared throughout the episode. Again, would love for someone to be able to reach out to you and have more questions answered if need be. What would be the best way for someone to reach you?
Yeah, I'd be happy to get emails from people. So it's, you know, just give my email address out, or how do you want to do that? Yeah.
Sure.
So Eric.Henry, E-R-I-C dot H-E-N-R-Y at carouselsignage.com.
And I'm sure they could get that booklet from you, but we're also going to provide a link to it within the show notes once the episode is released, if that's okay with you.
Most excellent. Yes, please do.
Wonderful. Well, again, thank you for being a wonderful guest on the podcast. And Bart, do you have any final thoughts to share?
Yeah, I'm just going to kind of beat the drum one more time. This is about strategy. We talk about, you know, I mean, if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we talk a lot about being pragmatic. We talk about, you know, what are some things that you can do to move the needle? We don't talk a lot about theory. We talk about how can things that you're learning on this from a professional development standpoint really impact things. And I think strategy and whatever you're doing is the first place to start. And I love the fact that we were talking about digital signage today, and we spent the first 10 or 15 minutes talking about strategy and talking about audience, talking about generations, and talking about the different way people consume things. I think that is a really good microcosm of the way I would encourage people to think about their own higher ed marketing teams. I call it kind of the institutional Kinkos. Sometimes we get so focused, and I know, you know, Ethan Braden one time talked about it as a short order cook. We get so focused on taking orders from all around campus and just, you know, seeing how quickly we can get them off out the door and make them look prettier by Monday. And we never stop to think about the strategy. And I think that digital signage and the way that we do communications with prospective students, and sometimes it just ends up getting into, hey, we're just going to do what we did last time. That was good enough. That poster worked, whatever. Instead of really stopping and thinking about what's our strategy, what's the call to action, who's this audience for, how can we target them, how can we segment out our different audiences. So I really, really appreciated the opportunity to unpack that a little bit more with Eric, and really would encourage you to download that booklet that they have. I think that is a good way to get your team around and on the same page that it comes to student communications, to use that resource. So thanks again, Eric. It's been a great conversation.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
That wraps up another episode of the Higher Ed Marketer Podcast, which is brought to you with pride by Kaler Solutions, your specialist in the field of education, marketing, and branding. And by Ring Digital, the experts in ad targeting, known for significantly improving response and yield by accurately targeting ads to the devices of the individuals on your enrollment and fundraising mailing list. Also, a big shout out and thank you to Rob Conlin and the entire team at Westport Studios for their unparalleled support. My name is Troy Singer. On behalf of our guest, Eric Henry, and my co-host, Bart Kaler, thank you for listening to The Conversation.
You've been listening to The Higher Ed Marketer. To ensure that you never miss an episode, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast player. The Higher Ed Marketer is a production of Kaler Solutions and Ring Digital in partnership with Westport Studios. Views and opinions expressed by guests on The Higher Ed Marketer are their own and may not reflect the views and opinions of their organization. Know someone who's a mover and a shaker in higher ed marketing? Visit www.higheredmarketerpodcast.com and click on our Contact Us page. We'd love to have you tell us about them. Until next time.